I'm Harry Wu, and probably I'm the only person here reading my own memo. In 1960, 49 years ago, the day after I returned to the campus, a meeting was called. The topic of the meeting, I was dismayed to learn, was Wu Hongda. Throughout the three-hour meeting, I was accused of being bourgeois, of leaving campus to escape criticism, and told that opinions. I have voiced during the May 2 meeting that were posthumous. I attempt to defend myself to no avail. In the end, I was told to write self-criticism. I reluctantly agreed. Not long afterwards, we were dismissed for summer vacation. And from Beijing back in Shanghai, my parents urged me to cooperate with the communist government and stay out of trouble. At that time, I was 20 years old. I returned to the school in the fall to find the political atmosphere even more oppressive. More and more classmates and teachers were being labeled as a rightist. I was told my previous self-criticism was unacceptable and ordered to rewrite it. I was also ordered to hand over my personal diary. Then, in October 20th, 1957, a banner appeared outside the cafeteria. It read, Wu Hongda's counter-revolutionary crime, and went on to list a series of supposed offense. My name was crossed out with a large red X. So now I, too, have been labeled as rightist. I still attend classes. But my free time was consumed by mandatory political class and writing summary of my thoughts. Those of us who had been labeled rightist were unsure of our fates, but could sense the harsher punishment was still to come. So could our hand, our friends and classmates, hardly anyone, were failing to speak to me anymore. Even if I had the time for baseball practice in being writing throughout the summaries, my teammates, my close friends at school, made it clear I was no longer welcome. In February 1958, the righteous were given their punishments. I was called into the room with 10 of my righteous classmates. We knew one classmate had been sentenced to a term in the Lao Gai. He had already been escorted off the campus. Of the group I was in, 5 was expelled from school and assigned to the hard labor in the countryside. The rest of us were allowed to stay in the school, but were under, quote, under the supervision of the masses, unquote. From then on, I was under constant surveillance. 2 classmates, their communist youth league, was assigned to follow me everywhere, even to the restroom. The strict schedule of political classes and thought summaries continuing. And now I have to perform various other tasks as well, such as catching fires and rats. I was shunned by everyone. No one wanted to risk being seen as symptomatic to a rightist. I grew despondent. My prospects were bleak. Writers were generally given difficult work assignment in the remote areas. Nor would anyone want to marry me, and a party will not permit such a marriage anywhere. I will forever to be an outcast. Spurned by the society, and yet under constant surveillance. I lost interest in my duty studies. I began secretly dealing with a young woman, a local nurse, sneaking off the campus frequently to visit her. I was repeatedly admonished for having compass, but no longer cared. Then in April 27, 1960, I was summoned for a meeting, one of many group criticism seasons I had attended since being labeled as a rightist. Scroll on the blackboard were the words, quote, "meeting to criticize rightist Wu Hongda," unquote. I sat quietly, head down, as my classmates take turns criticizing and denouncing me. And at 20 minutes, I was told to stand. And the leader of the meeting announced I was expelled for refusing to reform myself. Suddenly, a uniformed public security officer appeared in the doorway. He walked to the front of the room and spoke, quote, "Representative the People's Government of Beijing, I sentence the counter-revolutionary rightist Wu Hongda to re-education through labor," unquote. My head was swimming. How could this be happening? He held out my sentencing document and instructed me to sign. His hands were blocking the part of the document listing the charges against me. Quote, "I wanted to see the accusation against me," unquote. I said to the official, quote, "It is my right to be informed of my officer," unquote. He told me that government had placed me under arrest. Whatever I signed the document or not, didn't matter. I looked around the room, hoping someone will come to my defense. But no one say a word. Not knowing what else to do, finally I signed the paper without a notice. I was escorted to my dormitory, collect my belongings, put in a jeep, and taken to the Beiyuan Detention Center. I was sentenced to life, and I was 23 years old. But the nightmare was just beginning. The Beiyuan Detention Center was a dirty and extensive crowded. We woke up at 5:30 every morning, splash our face with a handful of dirty water, from a shell bucket and sat through hours for political education. We received two meals a day, consisting for two steam buns made of the chaff or shogun, a ladleful of wheat soup. Prisoners were perpetually hungry. At night, we slept in the tents in the prison yard because the dormitory was all full, 4,000 people in the detention center. It was so cramped in the tent that we had to sleep on our sides, passed up against one another. Twice during the night, the duty prisoners could call out for everyone to roll over. Condition was crowded that the only way to turn over was everyone to do it at once. I was quickly learn my first lesson of the Lao Gai. Labor is the storming simultaneously an obligation, a punishment, and a reward. It was only after I have confessed my crimes and proven myself to be obedient that I was allowed to labor in the Beiyuan chemical factory, 12 hours a day. Prisoners who labor were given three meals a day instead of two. And the work, although it tiring, was better than the monetary of the political studies sections. Easy job was given to the prisoners, and who well behaved of integrated themselves with the guards. Later, I was experience the punishing side of labor. But initially, I was happy to be the given work and working for 12 hours a day. Being assigned to labor also means I was allowed to write to my family, who are entirely months had known nothing of my whereabouts. They didn't even know I had been arrested. I crafted my letter to them very carefully, seeing I was being treated well, and tell them not to worry. I received reply. A month later, my brother visited me. That is only visit during the last 19 years. My brothers were furious. He scolded me and hunting our family, the party, and the country. He said the whole family had denounced me. I was stunned by his words. I'm totally lonely in the world, not knowing what to say. He told me to stay with Mao and reform myself, then giving me a package containing a towel and few hard candies. I asked how our parents were going, and he began shouting at me and saying I should be ashamed to even ask about them, and that he hoped I die soon in the prison. Then he left. At the time, I was bewildered by his anger. Only after my release 19 years later would I learn that upon receiving my letter from Beiyuan Detention Center, and our mother and commit suicide. My life in the camp beginning. Thank you.